Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. This goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world, heading towards Christmas. How many of you are ready for Christmas to be over? Probably all of you that have had to go to the post office, or the grocery store, or the mall, or anywhere. I was out right before the show. Almost flipped my lid. But that's another story entirely. We have so much stuff to talk about here today. Last couple of days, we've had SmackDown, 205 Live, Lucha Underground, NXT. We can talk about all of those on the program today, whatever's on your mind. Toll free, 844-411-5411. That is toll free, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. What did you think of all of these shows? I haven't seen Lucha Underground or NXT yet, but I saw the other two. And if you have thoughts on any of them, give us a call. We'll be talking tonight on the Brian and Vinny Show about Lucha Underground and NXT as we do every Thursday. Yesterday on the Filthy Tom Lawler Show, I should see if Filthy's Christmas Carol has any profanity. Maybe I can play it here on the air. But one way or the other, we can talk about those programs. We can talk about this story. Chris Cyborg flagged for a potential USADA violation. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. That sure throws a monkey wrench in the idea of a 145-pound title now, doesn't it? We've also got a main event for NXT TakeOver. For those of you that have been avoiding spoilers, now that the show has aired, we can officially announce that Bobby Roode will be challenging Shinsuke Nakamura for the NXT title over Royal Rumble weekend. NXT TakeOver San Antonio, not Dallas. Talk about that so much more. Mike Sempervivi joins us after the break. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
If you're 65 or older and suffering from knee pain, you may qualify for an advanced pain-relieving brace. Dr. Approved Medical will work with Medicare or insurance benefits to see if you qualify for these knee braces at little or no cost to you. The only way to see if you qualify is to call us, 800-816-0365. Don't let your knee pain get worse. Call now and get free shipping plus a free pedometer. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. By now, you know all too well that SR22 auto insurance is way more than you'd ever want to pay. You probably thought you didn't have a choice, but you were wrong. Our company specializes in low-cost, very affordable SR22 auto insurance for high-risk drivers. We know that mistakes happen, so take pride in being able to offer absolutely free quotes for this very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. ever. We're standing by at 800-758-0725. The only thing you need to do is stop waiting around while your monthly payments stay as high as they are. Our knowledgeable representatives are ready for your call at 800-758-0725. The quote is free, and we'll even handle the filings so you could start saving money every month even sooner. Call 800-758-0725. That's 800-758-0725. Once more, 800-758-0725.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. You can use a razor to shave those little lint balls off your sweatshirt or jacket.
Speaking of jackets, try wearing yours backwards. You could use the hood as a convenient snack trough.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. On top of that, the Geico Insurance Agency could help save you money on home and renter's insurance. Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit Geico.com today.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Before we get into the news today, yesterday we were talking about post-pay-per-view ratings bumps. I called out to Paul Fontaine, a ratings guy, to find out if this is true or not.
Ace.
Here's what he has answered. Brian, you asked for this info yesterday, so here it is. The short conclusion is that there is a definite pay-per-view bump for the big pay-per-views, Survivor Series and SummerSlam, for example. But there is actually a similar decline for post-pay-per-view shows for brand-exclusive pay-per-views, more so for Raw pay-per-views. But there are some anomalies there in that one show came against the presidential debate and another came on Halloween. But in the case of the presidential debate, the first hour was still significantly down, and that did not go against the debate. The decline is also significant on shows following SmackDown shows. So my theory is that viewer burnout in that they don't want to watch 3-plus hours of Raw after watching a pay-per-view the night before, especially when the pay-per-view is brand-specific and basically just a glorified version of Raw or SmackDown. So there you go. There is a post-pay-per-view bump for the big four shows, but not for the smaller shows. And in fact, the brand-exclusive shows, there's actually a decline the night after the pay-per-view. So there you go.
Makes complete sense. Actually, even you think about it, it really, really does. I wonder how long... I guess it's always going to be difficult. WrestleMania and Royal Rumble both. It's going to be impossible for me to believe unless there's something massive taking place on a network channel that those shows wouldn't be up and have more interest. I wonder, though, about SummerSlam and the Survivor Series as it goes along, if that's still going to be the case as they continue to saturate the earth with programming in the way that they do.
This fella here in the text message bin says, so when the USADA suspension for Cyborg ends, will UFC make a 155-pound belt for her to struggle to make weight for? That's right, everybody.
Damn. Hot off the press. WrestlingObserver.com.
Unfairly USADA or not, UFC star Chris Cyborg Justino never fully escaped the shadow of a 2012 failed drug test, despite not failing any tests since then. Boy, have I heard that. She hasn't failed since 2012. You guys are so mean to Cyborg.
Oh, yeah.
On Thursday, that shadow got a bit longer as the female star was flagged by USADA for an out-of-competition sample taken on December 5th. Justina was last seen destroying Lena Landsberg in September as the headliner on a UFC Fight Night show in Brazil. UFC stated, USADA, the independent administrator of the UFC anti-doping policy, will handle the results management and appropriate adjudication. Mm-hmm. Can we use smaller words, please, in these press releases? It is important to note that under the UFC anti-doping policy, there is a full, fair, legal review process that is afforded to all athletes before any sanctions are imposed. On December 17, Justino tested positive for stanozolol in a test taken after her Strikeforce, this is the 2011 failure, against Hiroko Yamanaka in San Diego. She won
a
the
dominatrix,
fight in 16 seconds.
Dominatrix. You heard me correctly. That's what she does. She actually got into MMA for fitness reasons, then enjoyed it so much she got into the fighting aspect of it. But yes, Cyborg tested positive after knocking her out in 16 seconds, a woman who works as a dominatrix, who was one of the only people they could get at 145 pounds who was not named Marlos Conan, if you'd like to know how deep this division is.
Assuming this is counted as a second offense, if she is not cleared, she is likely due for a lengthier suspension, although it would depend upon the substance and the circumstances. USADA wasn't in place for the first offense, even though Zuffa did own the organization at that time. So there you go. Potential USADA doping violation.
This could be anything. This could be something other than a steroid. Could be anything, right? We don't know.
Well, it couldn't be anything, actually. What are you talking about?
I know. B sample still needs to be tested and everything, but yeah, considering her history, considering how she looks, considering how Dave last night talked about how, you know, he watched that thing on, I guess, Real Sports and, you know, showing her still powerlifting. She still likes muscle, and she still likes being big, so you can only imagine what she's testing positive for. Now, the question is, when do you cut bait if you are UFC? Because she's going to be banished for a while. Do you take out and torture her by suspending her and keeping her under contract? Do you just go ahead and cut her loose and let her go do whatever it is in Japan? Because she can, you know. It doesn't matter what she tested positive for here, much like Wanderlei Silva, much like other people. They'll step foot in Japan, which is exactly where she'll
listen, go. Listen, let her go to Mars.
But that's what I'm saying.
Let her go to Jupiter. I don't care where she goes. I'm sure she's a nice lady. I'm sure
so
we
you're
get
done.
Along. Dude, I've been done for 2 years now.
Are they done?
I'm sure we could get along swimmingly if she came over for a Christmas party.
Are
you know
they
what?
Done?
The idea that we're building a division for a girl that can't make 135, a division that there's not going to be anybody in. Right now they're making a 145-pound title, which I don't even know if she can get to 145. They're making a 145-pound title that is being fought for by two girls who are 135-pounders. Why? What's the point of this?
I don't know. It's great for me because I like Holly Holm.
They
so
had
have
one.
A belt forever.
There was one UFC show that she headlined that did a great number. That's worthy of popping. That's worthy of putting together a full division for this person.
You know what it was
about.
I mean,
the rules are the rules.
You know what it was about.
What is about? This
it was about.
I know that.
So I ask again, if you're them, I know what you'll do if you're you. If you're them, do you just go, screw you, get out now, or at least whenever the suspension would technically be announced, do you do it then? Or, again, to let her go to Japan and do whatever it is and just go away forever, please go? Or do you keep her under contract?
I get rid of her.
Okay.
Listen, I do not care if she failed this test or not. I don't care. It does. That has nothing to do with my statement here. Like,
these are
the rules. The rules are we got 115 at 135. Like, can you make them or not? All right? If Gabby Garcia, like, if she can pop a rating, do we have to create a 200-pound, 205-pound women's title for her that has no other challengers? We're just going to invent a belt for her so that she can be the champion, and we can have 135-pounders move up to 205 to fight her. Is that what we're going to do if Gabby Garcia pops a rating?
Dude, get used to the new world because it's going to be a lot more... It's going to be a lot more like boxing than you think under this new administration. And I tell you what, with her being gone, with Rousey likely being gone all of next year, with John Jones being gone most of next year, no Brock Lesnar, and lots of other variables there at play, with the exception of having Conor McGregor, who cannot fight every month, the pressure for them to have pull things out of their rear end and come up with reasons to have fights and have a bunch of nonsense, that's only going to increase. We've already seen the slippery slope of
The
sport has become like boxing. It's just going to get worse.
I got a better idea then. I have a better idea.
Go ahead.
Because I'm a genius.
You are.
So listen.
Mm-hmm.
All of these stupid titles, there's so many belts right now that none of them mean a thing.
True.
We just saw an interim title fight and like, nobody watched the show.
That was made up.
Nobody watched the show to see dudes fighting over a fake belt. There's too many belts. So you know
Boxing.
What? Forget this stupid 145-pound division. If you want Cyborg to fight, Have Cyborg fight at 180 pounds. Find another 180-pound girl. There doesn't have to be a title on the line. There was a day when we had less belts, I might add, where if you ran a pay-per-view and you headlined with a title match, it would do better than headlining without a title match. But now, there's so damn many titles that a title on the line, unless a superstar is holding it, is not going to draw. Now, if it's a superstar, that guy doesn't even need a title or a girl. So, if you want Cyborg to fight, you don't need a stupid division for her. Just say we're going to have Cyborg fight at 180 pounds with no drug testing against another random 180-pound woman, and we're going to put it on TV, and everybody's going to watch it. Great! That solves all your problems. You don't need another belt or a division just for her. And now she's gone. Back in a moment with Dave. Can't wait to hear what he has to say. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can... Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get you... default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895. 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895. 800-760-4895. 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
This is a health warning from Dr. Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for back braces. If you're 65 or older and suffering from back pain, you may qualify to receive an advanced pain-relieving back brace at little or no cost to you. Many people are now using our pain-relieving back brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief that they haven't felt in years. Don't let your back pain turn into something worse. Remember, if you qualify for no money out of pocket, there's nothing to lose and only real pain relief to gain. Our friendly team of experts will handle all paperwork and will deliver it for free. Just call 800-507-1148. Your pain-relieving back brace may be covered by Medicare at little or no cost to you. Call our hotline now and get free shipping, plus a complimentary, easy-to-use pedometer. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. 800-507-1148. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible. Supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer is joining us here. Wrestling Observer Newsletter, new issue, is up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, only for subscribers. Dave?
Yes?
Cyborg.
What are you going to ask me? Oh, what a shock. No.
Weren't we just talking about this yesterday?
Here's the thing. I mean, we've been through enough of this in the last, like, 6 months or so that it really is best to kind of, like, wait and see. You know, I mean, as far as what comes out, it's going to take, unless she says something, it'll probably take a couple of months before we know the full story because, you know, there have been innocent people who have, it could be a supplement issue. I mean, and it really could, which isn't the same as a steroid thing. I mean, obviously, you know, with her more than almost anyone, you know, you do the, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, you know what I mean? It's very easy to come to that conclusion, but, you know, it was the same thing with Yoel Romero at a fantastic physique and was ultimately somewhat cleared. And, you know, I mean, he was suspended for a short period of time as opposed to, in her case, as on a second offense, what would happen, which could be, it could be devastating for her career if it is a steroid violation.
Now, with the new UFC USADA testing here, I mean, would this be a second violation since it's the first time USADA has popped her?
That's a good question. I'm actually awaiting hearing from UFC on that. So I don't know 100%, but I would think it would be because it's still a second violation. I mean, the first violation was still under Zuffa. I mean, it was the Zuffa drug testing in the sense that Strikeforce was owned by Zuffa by that point. So, I would think it would be a second, but I can't say that 100%. I mean, as far as how it's going to be judged, because the second violation could, if it is steroids, is probably you're talking 3 years. Which is absolutely devastating. But even a first violation, if it's steroids, it's going to be 2 years. If it's something else, like with Lesnar and John Jones, you know, it could be a year. Or she could even be cleared, it's, you know, depending on, you know, what happens and everything.
Dave, let me pose the same question to you as I did to Brian earlier. If this ends up shaking out with the way it very well could with her being suspended, if you are UFC, do you cut bait with her now, or do you basically punish her? Because if you cut bait with her, she can easily go to Japan and go ahead and make money there. Or do you torture her and kind of, you know, penalize her by keeping her to whatever contract status
torture
that she has and basically bury her here?
That's a very good question. I would say that I would release her from her contract for three, you know, as opposed to the three-year thing, because if the commissions, follow through, which they will, if it is what we think, if it is a steroid test, she's not going to be able to fight in the United States, and Bellator is not going to sign her to fight overseas, although they could. I mean, it's possible they could technically. I don't believe they will because it would look just so bad. But, you know, Ryzen, would they use her? Of course they would. I would say let her make money.
All right, here's my question. So we just had a show that was headlined by an interim title fight for a make-believe title, essentially, and it didn't do all that well. Now, we also saw a show headlined by Cyborg with no title on the line that did very well. So
very well because it was, you know, television, you know.
Sure.
She did a nice rating on her last show.
Yes.
But there's a difference between, you know, the last time she was on pay-per-view, that didn't do very well either.
Okay, but my point to all of this is
the dynamic of what draws on pay-per-view and television.
Okay, my point to all of this is we can see that Cyborg drew on TV with no title, and we saw that a lame title that nobody takes seriously, it's not a draw. So
no.
My question is, why do we even have to create a division and title for Cyborg in the first place? Can't you just, let's say that
now,
she gets clear.
Now it looks really silly.
I know, but let's just say she gets clear. Let's say that she took a tainted supplement, she gets cleared. Okay, fine. Why are we creating a 145-pound division? Why can't you just say, Cyborg's going to be headlining this television show from Brazil, she's going to be fighting at 185 pounds against some other random girl at 185. Yippee, here we go.
Exhibition style.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Why does it have to be for a title? We've already seen that just a random created title doesn't draw.
The only reason they create titles is to give, you know, a reason for a show to be on pay-per-view. That's not, you know, like if it's two people that it's not strong enough to carry, you know, I mean, it's not like a big grudge match that's going to draw on their own. So they throw a title in there. Now, does it really help? You know, probably not. And
which is so interesting, too.
And, you know, I mean, we can see that the trap that they've really fallen down. And, adding more championships isn't the answer, especially more interims. I mean, there's an argument that they could add more weight classes. There's pluses and minuses. As a sport, they should add more weight classes. But as far as championships that draw and making championships mean something, the more championships you have, the less people are going to know what they are and the less they're going to care. I mean, it's an inherent thing psychologically that a lot of people don't really seem to understand, you know, where they're going like, well, just, you know, may, you know, add a bunch of championships. It's fair. And it's like, that's the difference between sport and marketing. You know, sports-wise, they should have a championship every 10 pounds. But marketing-wise, if you have that, you're going to have so many championships that people don't care about the championships. So, and you've got to be, you know, as a business, you've got to look at both ends. It's a little bit of both.
That's what's so interesting about the championship scenario is, I mean, those championships in boxing were bred out of licensing fees and things like that and making money off of interim fights and nonsense, you know, so a lot of that chicanery could happen. The UFC is basically working against itself that way. I mean, is there going to be any, I mean, is there possible for there to be any self-correction, especially now when they are so desperate for, you know, basically this is, I could see a lot of attention fights happening and a lot of things like this where they're creating these belts. I mean, is there any sort of internal correction that could happen where they do stop doing this or realize, you know, it's watered down?
It's one of those things that, you know, we talk about certain things, which is, you know, the glut of product. You know what I mean? And it's like, could UFC, could WWE counter the problems from the glut of product? Yes, they could. Are they going to? No, they're not, because it's short-term money. And again, these championships, when you're thinking short-term money, you know, you're going to do that. If you're thinking long-term money, you know, I don't know. Because again, as a sport, it's not the worst thing in the world to have more weight divisions. It's fair. And we should want fairness. But the interim stuff and the ridiculous interim stuff, like when, you know, if there's a guy, like it was when Dominic Cruz had his knee surgery, I mean, create an interim title, of course, I think that makes all the sense in the world. But if you've got guys that are champions that are healthy that just are going to not be able to be on a pay-per-view, and you've got a pay-per-view and you need a championship fight and you just create an interim title, I think people see, I think it's pretty clear people see through that, and it just devalues championships.
We also have the story today, the Gabby Garcia Shinobu Kandori fight has been switched. Kandori, shockingly, at 52 years old, got injured in training.
Broken rib.
And so now what do we have?
Yumiko Hoto, which is even worse. I mean, Yumiko Hoto's 49. She'll be 50 on January 10th. So she's a couple of years younger. But, I mean, Shinobu Kandori at least was like a world-class athlete and a legitimate badass. And Hota, I mean, as far as to a degree old style when she was young, she was pretty badass too, but not at the level of Kandori. So you're talking about, you know, someone almost the same age who has less shooting ability, going against someone twice her size and 20 years younger. I mean, this is really, you know, the Kandori fight was one of the worst things that was going to happen this year. It's not. The Hota fight, to me, is actually slightly worse than the Kandori fight. But, you know, it's the same thing. It's appalling that it's happening.
She lost to George Lucas's daughter.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, George Lucas's daughter was a somewhat serious fighter, but, you know, again, it's the age thing more than anything else. It's like, you know, 49 years old, and here's the other thing, 31, you know, it's a 49-year-old woman with 31 years of hardcore professional wrestling. I mean, you know how those women work in Japan. I mean, that's not easy pro wrestling. That's the hardest, you know, some of the hardest pro wrestling there is. And so imagine 31 years of doing that and the injuries that she has and then going out there and doing a real fight. I mean, it's just such a terrible idea.
Dave, you know what, though? Pretty sure I asked you this 15 years ago with Nagata and Crow Cop. When does this stop? Does it stop when somebody dies, or is it just their fighting spirit carried them to
death?
Dude,
it won't
Japan?
Even stop when somebody dies, of course.
I know. It's like Inoki gets to, like, spirit slap them into the coffin when they die. It's just this is crazy.
I hate it. This is MMA is a serious, dangerous sport, and you've got to, you know, you can't just be throwing people in there in these, you know, freak show fights, especially at that age. I mean, it's just, you know, like these fights would not be allowed in the United States for good reason. And I think it's really sad that in Japan they just, you know, it came off, you know, it developed from pro wrestling. And pro wrestling, this is one of those things that you would do in pro wrestling when, you know, Inoki drew with Luthez and Carl Gotch and people like that were much older than him. And that's like the mentality that they have, but it's not pro wrestling. That's the difference.
Yeah, but you know what? Let me play devil's advocate. So I've seen Gabby Garcia stand up. It's so beyond horrible, it's hard to describe.
Yeah, but it's just too much of a size difference.
I know, but all she has to do is take the girl down and submit her in like 10 seconds. No one gets hurt.
Yeah.
Which is safer than Kimbo, I guess,
yeah,
if you look at it that way.
When I see two guys that are standing there swinging at each other and they're big and they suck, I mean, we saw it with that Kimbo Dada fight. That's like, that was a complete and utter disaster in every way. When you got like a great jiu-jitsu player and somebody who's been submitted like 15 times, I mean, just take him down and choke him out. That's it.
Yeah, okay, but what will the mentality be? Because
the mentality is a bad idea.
That's not the mentality of the television people who put this fight together. They want you know, Ho to be throwing kicks, and they want Gabby to be swinging those terrible punches because that's the spectacle of it. They don't want, like, could she quickly take her down and choke her? I bet she could. I mean,
Dave, let me ask you.
She hasn't done that in any of her fights.
Let me ask you before we run out of time here. I mean, back in the day, I mean, guys were told, don't go to the ground. They were paid sometimes to do different things and to do things in different ways.
Sorry, Mike.
Shoot.
Yep, we gotta head to a break. Sorry, Dave. We'll be back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
Are you a business owner or an individual who owes the IRS? Then be prepared to write down an important phone number. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? Do you need to file back tax returns? Are you dealing with bank levies and wage garnishments? It's time to deal with your IRS problem today. Call Certified Tax Tax Representation now. Certified Tax Tax Representation, Inc. represents clients just like you in all 50 states. They will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client, and you can become a client immediately. It's time for you to face your IRS problems. Think about how great you're going to feel when you're represented by a company who's an advocate for you, who knows the law, who also will contact the IRS the same day you become a client. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. Call now, 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064. Not all cases are typical and some may not qualify. The consultation is free and so is the call, so call right now. 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervive on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, Mike Sempervive, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Time to hear from you. If you want to give us a call here today, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. SmackDown. 205 Live, Lucha Underground, NXT, TNA is tonight with a best of the Hardys, TNA, etc. Cyborg, whatever's on your mind, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura for the NXT title. is an option. Give us a call and or text message. All of this is up at the front page of WrestlingObserver.com as well. I'm at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. Mike is at Semper Vivi. You can contact us there as well.
I'm going to have to contact Dave on Twitter first, ask him that question I was going to ask him at the end there about Japanese contracts and persuasion and things like that taking place, where fights, talking about things going to the ground, where talked about TV guys and what they want and things like that in K1, in Pride, and any of the major groups in Japan back in the day. There were rules, and there were things that guys were supposed to abide by at times in certain fights. Just curious as to if that would still happen today, because...
Of course.
Well, that's...
You kidding me? Are you kidding me? Give me a break.
I know, but just kind of blows up the thing about, you know, Gabby as far as, you know, going to the ground, because, you know, the first fight, I mean, if Cyborg were to be let go of her contract, how fast does Ryzen make Cyborg and Gabby? Obviously, Gabby wouldn't want that because that's a lot of fists coming at her face, but I would wonder how fast they would make that fight.
Listen, Hicks and Gracie faced Nobuhiko Takeda twice.
Takeda twice.
Pride 1 and Pride 4, 97 and 98.
Gracie cheated.
No, he didn't. Give me a break. Yes, my point of this is, if there was ever an example of a guy carrying another guy for a while before beating him, I mean, that's it. Like, Hickson was never going to do a pro wrestling match. He was never going to do a job. Elio Gracie was virulently against professional wrestling.
He wasn't going to get vertical suplexed like Mark Coleman did against Takeda?
I'm talking pro wrestling, like, do a job. No one was paying this guy to do a job or a fake fight. Ilya was so against professional wrestling matches, which was very ironic since... Anyway, point of this
really?
Is, I guarantee that he agreed to at least let the guy survive for a little while before beating him. I mean... Hicks and Gracie, even people that hated the Gracies, like, there was nobody that said, well, you know, Hickson's really not that good. I mean, the stories that the highest of the high-level black belts back in the day said about how they were completely dismantled by Hickson, and his jiu-jitsu was unlike anything they'd ever seen before. I mean, the way that his... Even his detractors talked about how good he was.
Wasn't it Yoji Anjo?
Well, he completely destroyed him. I'm talking people that were actually like real jiu-jitsu players going in there getting smashed by this guy and toyed with by Hickson. He'd go in there and run through black belts and destroy them one by one. Takeda's not going in there and lasting 9 minutes and 30 seconds with Hickson unless Hickson's carrying him for 9 minutes. It's just the way it is. There's a lot of different ways to manipulate a fight.
Yes.
I mean, they may not have even had to tell Takeda anything. I mean, you hand Hickson a wad of cash and you just go, listen, let this guy survive for 9 minutes and then do what you got to do or whatever.
Which
and
is
that's the end of that.
Pretty much exactly how that purportedly went down. Because Takeda, that's what built Pride was. A lot of people don't realize that now, but, you know, one of New Japan's biggest superstars, you know, Nobuhiko Takeda, the guy from Hustle, the guy wearing the hat, yes, he was the reason that Pride was built. He was the guy that Pride was built around, and he did vertically suplex Mark Coleman, and that's what it was based on. That's what it all came out of, was pro wrestling, and that's what they did, and Sakuraba and all of that kind of came after it, but that's it started with Takeda and these interesting fights that he would have, which I'm trying to think if it was UWFI or K1 or who it was that he had the match against Imamu Mayfield, I think it was, the cruiserweight champion. I think it may have been Mayfield. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly who it was right now, where they had a contract that said there was going to be no kicking taking place. It's just going to be a stand-up fight. And Takeda started kicking him in the legs. Now, everybody was in on it, except for the boxer. And again, it wasn't Mayfield. That was a little bit later on down the line in K1. I can't believe it's escaping me right now. But the guy jumped out of the ring, ran to the back.
Well, go find it, and I'll take this call.
Go ahead.
You're on the air. What's up? Hello, caller. Going once.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, this is James from Houston. How are you guys doing? I have two questions. The first question is, do you think that the UFC is kind of missing out on some promotional stuff with Holly Holm being essentially being the first woman to hold a belt in two weight divisions and being the fourth overall? That's my first question. My second question is, you guys did a WrestleMania preview show a couple days ago. Any word on who might be the headliner for the Hall of Fame this year? That's all I have. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. I would think maybe the headliner for the Hall of Fame would be Goldberg. He's not in the Hall of Fame yet, is he?
No, he's not.
As far as Holly Holm, I mean, there's still a ways to go before that show, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they started promoting that. I mean, the way that UFC usually works, they will look ahead to a degree, but right now all of their promotional efforts are fixated on Ronda Rousey's fight at the end of the year. So I'm pretty sure that as soon as that's out of the way, they'll start building up this one. And yes, they should absolutely promote that as Holly Holm's chance to become a two-division champion. Because you know what? If Holly Holm wins that title, if they don't decide not to do that division, if Holly Holm wins that title and Ronda Rousey wins the title at 135, then the idea that Ronda can attempt to, number one, she can get revenge on Holly Holm for her sole loss. She can become the second person to win titles in two different weight divisions. She can beat the first person that did it. I mean, that is a monster fight. So, yes, I would be stunned if they did not promote that heavily. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Am I on?
You're on, yes.
All right, awesome. Well, it's Paul from Ontario. I got a couple of questions.
Sure.
I was actually supposed to make eggs. Sorry.
I heard that.
The one question is about the UK championship. How would that affect any of the contracts that are already there for, like, the indies?
Contracts that are already there for indies?
Yeah,
WWE announced those guys are clear to wrestle with who they're wrestling with.
Are you talking like guys that are working for WWE, then working elsewhere? Are you talking about guys that are contracted elsewhere, not working for WWE?
Well, I mean like the guys that are going into the tournament.
Okay, those guys are allegedly being given exemptions to work certain promotions, but not others.
I see.
So if you're going to be working the WWE UK tournament, like you're not going to be able to go to New Japan as well. You can't go to Ring of Honor as well. But I think it's Progress and what's the other one, Mike?
Rev Pro. Well, yeah, and they're playing it as if they can go anywhere. But it's the double secret, you know, wink of well, no, you're not going to be able to go to New Japan and hang out and do what you want there.
And the reality is, if ITV picks up World of Sport and they start doing a weekly show, and WWE decides that they're going to be doing a weekly show on the WWE network, I would think that regardless of what people may have been told originally, that could very well change. But for now, allegedly, they can work other places.
And, my other question, what do you think's next for Ty Dillinger? Like, what do you see in him next?
I know that some people are very against this idea. I want to thank you very much for the call. But I am fairly certain that Ty Dillinger is coming in at number 10 in the Royal Rumble. I'm fine with that. Even before he started this storyline in NXT, this was probably 2 or 3 months ago, I'd been told that Ty Dillinger's probably being called up soon. Which is, I have nothing against Ty Dillinger. I like Ty Dillinger. But all people had been talking about was, when's Nakamura coming up? When's Joe coming up? When's Asuka coming up? And then I hear, I think they're calling up Ty Dillinger soon. I was like, okay, well, need a body. But yeah, I would not be surprised one bit to see him as number 10 in the Royal Rumble. I honestly think, I know that some people think this 10 thing is going to get out of control. It's going to become the new what chant. Fans are going to stop counting 1, 2, 3 and doing the count out. They'll just be counting 10, 10, 10. It's going to be out of control. It's too late. It's already happening. And it's going to happen at the Royal Rumble, whether he's there or not. There's a takeover event the night before. I mean, it's going to be the same NXT fans going to the Royal Rumble. They're going to be chanting 10, 10, 10 all night. They're going to want him there at number 10. And I'm telling you, if he ain't number 10, they're going to turn on that match, maybe for a while.
Oh, Roman Reigns comes in at number 10, because why not?
What a... You may as well.
You can't figure out a way to throw Daniel Bryan out again, so why not? By the way, it was Trevor Burbick who was the guy, the Muhammad Ali's last opponent, who was kicked in the legs by Takada, sent him running out of the ring. And that was the second fight with Gracie that went 9:33. The first one went 3.5 minutes, or not even, I'm sorry, no, under 3 minutes with Gracie taking him down and armbarring him relatively easily, believe it or not.
Probably told him, give him some time next time. What do you mean relatively easily? Of course it was easily. That's Hickson's move. He's going to either choke him or armbar him. He's not going to omoplata the guy. To the phones, you're on the air.
This is Jim from Virginia.
I knew it was you.
You know what, see? I know you didn't see Lucha Underground last night, but can I talk about it?
Of course.
Okay. Well, I know we had very low hopes for the Johnny Mundo Sexy Star Cage match, but actually, it was pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah?
Because the Sexy Star, she actually did one of those Ricky Steamboat type off the top rope cage dives on Johnny Mundo, and that was very impressive.
You know what does sadden me? It saddens me that this business has become such that in the cage match, every single time, virtually without fail, the babyface has to climb up to the top, have the opportunity to go over the other side and win, but then decide, I'm going to do a dive instead. It's like, now, in every WWE cage match, you got to slam the cage door on the guy's head. Like, the spot means nothing now. And I did get an email here, or a text message, Jim, from this person that says, during this cage match, Sexy Star climbed to the top of the cage, and instead of escaping and winning the championship, she did a dive on Mundo. Who could possibly cheer this woman?
Exactly. Well, you know, the end of it was what killed it, you know, being a really great match, was when Mundo removed her mask. She couldn't do anything after that. She had to hide her identity and all that, and he just gets out.
Easy. Man.
Can be, you know, and that was it.
But, I mean, we all know who she is now.
Oh, I know it. We knew that, you know, as soon as she said
Dulce El Gabbana. Isn't that her name?
It's something along those lines, you know.
Sure.
Dulce De Leche, I believe it is.
One last question. I love the women's division in CMLL, and I'm just wondering, is there some reason why they have so many 2 out of 3 fall tag matches in CMLL?
That's what they've done in Lucha dating back decades and decades and decades.
I thought you were going to ask us to explain Dallas. I can't.
CMLL, I want to thank you very much for the call, Jim. CMLL is a very, very traditional promotion. AAA, I think, is mostly doing one fall matches now. They're modernizing. But CMLL, 2 out of 3 falls. It's as old school as they come, and it is the longest running promotion in the whole universe. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest music gear on earth at guitarcenter.com. When you think of Dee Snider's Twisted Sister, what comes to mind? Rebellion, tongue-in-cheek humor, raucous hair metal guitars, blue eyeshadow and the rocking 80s, perhaps? Well, recently Dee reworked one of his songs as a beautifully stark and touching piano ballad, turning his best-loved record into a powerful tool for a very important cause. Join me over at focusonrock.com for the full story about the helping hand of the new We're Not Gonna Take It.
This Black Friday weekend, Guitar Center is your best gift ever center. With doorbuster deals like a Savannah acoustic or Rogue electric guitar, your choice just $59. A complete PDP 5-piece drum kit by DW for $299. A Mitchell ukulele for just $29. Or a 12-pack of D'Addario guitar strings for $25. Save up to 40% on gear in every department. And go to guitarcenter.com to download your money-saving coupon now. Doors open Friday at 6 a.m. Black Friday weekend at Guitar Center. In-store and online.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
Listen closely. You don't have to live with knee pain. You heard right. If you're 65 or older and suffering from knee pain, you may qualify for an advanced pain-relieving brace at little to no cost to you. Doctor Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for knee braces, will work with Medicare or insurance benefits to see if you qualify for these knee braces. Many people are now using our knee brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief they haven't felt in years. The only way to see if you qualify is to call us. 800-816-0365. One of our friendly experts will handle all paperwork and have it delivered for free. Don't let your knee pain turn into something worse. Find out now about these advanced knee braces now covered by Medicare or insurance benefits. Call now and get free shipping plus a complimentary easy-to-use pedometer. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. 800-816-0365. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All righty, breaking news here. Ray Elby, Cyborg's manager, claimed they found out a few days ago that she tested positive for spironolactone, diuretic that she is using for treatment of health issues stemming from her weight cut in late September. He said the drug is for treatment of kidney issues and blood pressure, and she is under medical supervision, and her doctor is already in contact with USADA. Spironolactone is used for treatment of low potassium levels in the blood, as well as extreme cases of female acne, as well as for edema from people with congestive heart failure. So you know what this means? It means one way or the other, she shouldn't be trying to cut to 145.
Yep.
Nor 135. Nope. Nor probably 155.
No, nor anything, really. Be natural. How about that?
So that's the story. We'll have more on that on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And as noted, the brand new issue of The Observer is up there if you want to check that out. I did a bunch of shows yesterday, including a brand new show with Filthy Tom Lawler. If you want to hear him sing the classics of Christmas, that is up right now. Check that out. And we will be back here tomorrow with more. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, etc. I want to thank Mike, as always, all the callers and listeners. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network.